You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca, Alberta's only regulated online gambling website. Use the promo code, and you get a new one every month, Greger50, and you'll get a free $50 play only at PlayAlberta.ca.
Sports 1440. Al, thank you so much for joining us. I know it was a bit of a runaround whether we were going to be doing this or not, but we appreciate you being here. What does your Friday afternoon at 5:30 look like?
Well, right now I'm watching the Angels against the Tigers.
Ooh.
Tarik Skubal, the best pitcher in baseball, getting hit around a little bit by the Angels. It's one run, but no big deal. And the Elks game is coming up in two shakes of a lamb's tail. I do have, there's a bottle of Crown Royal to my left, and there's some ginger ale in the fridge to my right. I have not done that yet, but that it's calling me, as is the ice. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
That's what I was gearing up toward, because I know you're kind of a Crown and ginger guy when Friday afternoon rolls around. Are we strictly sticking to that, or do you ever mix it up? Or is this just a don't fix what's not broken kind of thing?
Well, it's what I would prefer. Karen likes tequila shots, so
Ooh.
I've been doing that a lot lately. The problem is tequila is undefeated.
Right.
You know, going back to my early 20s, tequila is the drink you have that you start on. You go, well, that's good. I like that. And then pretty soon you're dancing with a furnace and you don't know it. It's kind of wild. You know,
tequila is that rare drink that's about 15 billion and oh. Incredible one run of winning credentials here.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I feel like you've got to be prepared for that one. That's my feeling.
LT, what's the setup like when you're watching sports? Because I know you're a guy who watches simultaneous sports and keeps an eye on a lot of things. Like, have you got your one main TV and like a laptop or a tablet open, or have you got your phone with you? Or what's your setup like when you sit down to watch sports?
Well, here I've got my big TV in front of me, elevated, and my dog is right next to me, so that if I scare her, I can, you know, revive her right away with my yelling. And then I've got my laptop open, and it's the MLB is running some live games today on Twitter, so I'm watching that a little bit. And like during hockey season, I'd be flipping back and forth with my channel changer. I know you guys all call it the wand or some other weird thing, but it's a channel changer at my house. So I would watch multiple events at the same time. And during hockey season, I mean, it gets a workout, because I also would have on the laptop, I'd have the Bakersfield Condors on. I watch a lot of the AHL games.
Do you write your articles, magnificent articles, I should say, all at once? Or do you kind of have them up, like a Word document open during the game? You'll write down a few thoughts, or what's your process for writing an article?
During games, I don't write, but I do make notes, and that I always check a natural stat trick at the end of the game. I watch the games with the sound down, and I do watch them. Like I watch the game closely, because I see it better if the sound isn't down. The announcers are fabulous, but they end up for, you know, the wrong reason. And so when I'm watching the game, I can sort of figure out exactly what's going on. And then I write after the game is over for my athletic articles. I would write like 200 words or so. The reason I do that, Wanye, is so that I would know while I go to bed, I will think about what I'm going to write the next day to add on to the 200 words. It works for me. I don't know why, but it's like I when I can put the template down on paper, then when I return to it the next day, I've got a million other ideas about where it wants to go.
Alan Mitchell, host of The Lowdown with Low Tide, here new to on Sports 1440, joining us. Low Tide, something that came up on our show today that we didn't really elaborate on, but I planned to talk about today, was during my declinations, I had my top five athletes on the hot seat going into next season.
Yes.
Sorry, there was some audio coming in there. I wasn't sure what was happening. But my point being, Connor McDavid was on the list. You said you vehemently disagreed. We didn't really talk about it that much. Why don't you think he's on the hot seat going into this season?
Because I think that the management is on the hot seat, and they have been forever. This is a team, if you look at, let's take Florida as an example. They had a really nice team when Bill Zito got there, and he acquired three former Flames, Tkachuk, Reinhardt, and Bennett. And he added players who were either in their prime or about to enter their prime. And the Oilers, over many years, have signed older free agents and traded draft picks at the deadline, and basically have run this team like the only year they can win the Stanley Cup is the one that's coming up. And Florida built a better mousetrap. So when we talk about, you know, the Edmonton Oilers versus the Florida Panthers, the game itself has changed in front of the Edmonton Oilers, where there is more talent marbled through the Florida lineup than there is through the Edmonton lineup. Now, the Oilers have great high-end talent, fantastic high-end talent. But on the goal that counted in the Stanley Cup final, Game 6, first goal, the line that was on the ice was Connor McDavid, Leon Draisaitl, and Corey Perry. And the Oilers, when they have Corey Perry on the ice, lack of speed in his own zone, that's not a battle you're going to win. Ekholm was injured. They didn't really have anybody else who could play him. He sent an errant pass to Bouchard, also, as we found out later, a little bit banged up for the final. And the Oilers ended up getting a goal against that was huge. They allowed another one later in the period. So, I mean, Connor McDavid might be under pressure, but there, you know, hockey, as we talked about earlier today, hockey isn't baseball. Players in hockey can have an impact, but there's a lot about this Edmonton Oilers team that is imperfect. Now, I love the acquisition of Savoy and Ike Howard, and I think Todd Colson will play more. They need to get younger in important spots, and they are. I think Stan Bowman is going to be a better general manager than Ken Holland. Not that Holland didn't get him to the Stanley Cup final, he did, but I think they got there, and they were the team that looked old and tired. Florida looked like the team that was winning their second Stanley Cup in a row and was a good bet to return, and I think the pressure should be on the Edmonton Oilers management as opposed to their best hockey player.
Lotan, I'm really glad you bring up Ike Howard and Matt Savoy, because it seems to me that there is a lot riding on the success of this Oilers season on those two ultra-young players. Do you feel that that's a little bit overblown? Do you think it's unjust? Do you think it's just the way it is, the way the team's formatted? Like, where do you come out on those two players specifically and the success of the Oilers season that may be relying on their shoulders to a degree, and just their stature to this point in their NHL careers?
Well, the key thing to remember about Savoy and Howard is that the Oilers don't have to use them. They have picked up, you know, Trent Frederick, who can play on a skill line. They picked up Andrew Mangiapane. Zach Hyman should be healthy. They have Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. Their skill lines, you know, I think there's going to be some interesting mix and match on their skill lines. Now, the third line may be a problem in that Adam Henrique, if he doesn't play left wing in the McDavid line, he's not a fast player, and you might have to borrow Pod Colson from the Draisaitl line in order to make that line go. But the Savoy, I think, is I'm not saying he's a lock. I just don't believe that. But he's probably more likely to make the team than Ike Howard. They both might make the team, but I think that Savoy is he's got some AHL experience for a year. He's got like four NHL games with the Oilers. He played well with Draisaitl. You can kind of cobble together a storyline that gets him there. The thing about Howard is he's a pure scorer. He's a first-shot scorer. So there's less known about him. But if he develops any kind of chemistry at all with one of the big centers, then I think he's going to be the guy who gets the push. I think Bowman made a really good bet with Ike Howard. I just don't know when he's going to play. I think by the middle of the season, he'll be playing a lot because he's a good bet to score. They needed that one thing. And Howard is not a, you know, people are saying, well, he's not a good defensive player. That's fine. They don't need him to be a great defensive player, but they need him to go to areas and score goals and to find quiet ice where he can shoot the puck from. And I think he's going to be that player. So I don't think there's a lot of pressure, but I think there's a lot of anticipation for both of these players. And they're really good hockey players.
LT, I'm thinking about getting an Iceman Calder 2026 lock tattoo. And I'm just wondering if you think that's a great idea or a really great idea.
I think you always have great ideas.
Thank you.
I just want to know, because I thought the first thing you'd do is get that white suit style that Howard had at the draft. I don't know if you saw that.
Of course I did. Of course.
Oh, my God. He looks like a rocker there, you know?
With the NHL rescinding their dress code before games, I think a guy like Ike Howard could really bring a lot of personality out before the games. I think people are going to like him. Whether or not he gets a shot this year, I think remains to be seen. But NHL players that have the ability to self-promote and be interesting, I think, are few and far between.
They are, and this guy's got it in spades. Highly confident guy, and I'll be honest, I think it might rub people the wrong way, but I don't care. The Oilers could use a little swagger, just so everybody remembers when they won their 5 Stanley Cups, they were like, the fans were arrogant. That's how much swagger the team had. So I think that Howard's going to be an interesting player on and off the ice for Edmonton Oilers fans. I hope they like him.
Low Tide, thank you so much for being here with us. Appreciate you deeply, more than you know. Enjoy your weekend, and we will talk to you again on Monday.
I love it. Thanks so much. I appreciate it. Have a good weekend, guys.